What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's April 16th, 2024. I'm Trey. That's Mark. How you doing over there, Mark?
Good, buddy. Got playoff basketball coming up. I'm excited about that. I know most of our viewers don't care.
Who the Mavs got in the first round?
Clippers.
Oh, that's a recently storied rivalry right there. Right? Yeah, the playoffs are about to start, which means I'm about to start watching NBA basketball for the first time this season. But I do like the playoffs, so I'm looking forward to it. And the Grizzlies had an abomination of a year, so go Mavs. I'm with you. Yeah, I'm hop on the Mavs bandwagon.
Yeah, I had to get on the Grizz bandwagon with you guys last year. So I actually bought a Grizz t-shirt last year to wear to the bar with Drew, and it didn't hit for y'all. You got beat by the Lakers.
We sure did. Surrounded by Lakers fans at a bar in Los Angeles. But what are you going to do?
Yeah. So got a fun show. We're talking about Trump's trial and some weird Supreme Court shit where they might decide that a bunch of January 6th people get off because of a precedent where a guy got caught illegally fishing. And that'll be fun to explain a little bit later.
Sure.
So before we get to the show, some good stuff. Homicides, I got some data about last year. Homicides are plumbing. In 10 cities with the most 2023 homicides, that's the ones we have data for, homicides are falling hugely. Murders are down 80% in Boston, 50% in San Antonio, 44% in Nashville. Think about these numbers. If these decline numbers were increased numbers,
oh yeah, it would. No, I was gonna say I don't even believe this, Mark. This don't sound right because I have been led to understand that the Biden administration is openly advocating for more crime. They encourage crime overtly at every opportunity, right? Including murder. Murder all you want, but please, Mexicans, come up here and murder. That's what we are about in the Biden administration's version of America. Yeah, it's weird that you're not seeing these numbers anywhere else, but you get them here at the Skews, guys. That's right. Some good news for you.
It's not even like a partisan thing because we just think in America we're like, if crime goes up, we got to lock more people up. If crime goes down, obviously locking up a people's working, so we got to lock more people up, right?
Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
Like, you think these numbers would be a huge political winner in a country if we were a country where people still thought being alive hit. But unfortunately, not where we live.
Oh man, I was banking on getting murdered this year.
That's my retirement plan. update story we're following in your home state of Tennessee. It looks like Governor Lee's statewide voucher scam is fucking dead after a state rep by the name of Scott Sapicki got caught on leaked audio saying, quote, "We need to throw the whole freaking public education system in the trash." So voters don't like that.
Saying the quiet part out loud again. But also this week, one half of the Tennessee State House passed a bill that would arm teachers. So it's like they're arming teachers while they admit that they need to just throw the whole thing in the trash. So it's apparently their inspiration for public education in Tennessee is the Fallout universe, just desolation and violence across the board. That's what they want our kids to be subjected to. Yeah, let's have Judge Dredd teach all the classes in Tennessee. That sounds good.
Not for nothing. Like if somebody comes from a rural area, my mom taught public school, primary school for 25 years, which took a job teaching at a college. And she had bad hips and shit. I don't think she could really do tuck and roll while, unloading a clip. But my baby sister is currently a first grade teacher and she has guns and stuff. And I like when they were talking about it, I was asked her how she felt about it. She's like, I would never have a gun in my classroom because I don't want to use it. Not because I'm definitely not afraid of a school shooter, and they realize the probability is small. It's like my kids go through my drawers.
Of course, dude. Of course, that thing is, that shouldn't even need to be pointed out to these people. Actual responsible gun owners will harp on and on for good reason about if you have a gun in the house, it should be locked in a safe and all that. And of course, Jim Jeffries has the brilliant bit about how like that negates the whole purpose of it. But like, when kids end up accidentally shooting their sibling because they found their dad's gun or whatever, that's what happened because kids dig around and shit. They're nosy. They don't know how weapons work. You have to keep them. You have to keep the weapons sequestered away from the children. So putting a loaded firearm in a room full of 37-year-olds is insane. I don't care how, adept the particular teacher is. I don't care if she's fucking John Wick with a handgun. Like it's stupid, man. It's crazy.
I just think like my where like a universe where my lovely sweet mom would wear like Christmas sweaters with fuzzy reindeer noses and also be packing like a 350
be strapped. Yeah.
Federal chairwoman of the Federal Trade Commission, Lena Khan, another thing I wanted to point to that's cool. She's trying to pass a rule to get rid of no compete clauses. One in five U.S. workers is currently bound by no compete clause. And I think they just think like this is one of those things that's so like if you know anyone's had to sign them, and I've had to like sign a few of them, non-disclosure, whatever you call it. And it's like how I thought capitalism based upon competition, but it's competition for us, but not for the capitalists. They get to wall themselves off from any sort of threat while the rest of us just fucking dig for scraps. I'm like, no, if I work at your business and I want to start my own version of this business, learning what I got toiling away for you to make you profits. I think I got a better way to do it. Sorry, you got to compete with me. That seems fair.
That's the free market, right? That's how capitalism is supposed to work. Yep. Just compete better. If you can't compete, you should lose. That's how it works, right? So it doesn't matter if you trained them or whatever, fucking compete with them. You know,
right.
Michael Jordan wouldn't been about no non-compete clauses. You know what I'm saying? Fucking competition. It's the American way. God damn it. Y'all are the ones who say that shit.
To quote Michael Jordan, and I took that personally, so then I fucking destroyed him. Another bit of encouraging labor news. United Auto Workers are about to have a big election in Tennessee at a Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga where 4,000 workers are going to vote to hypothetically unionize. They've been trying to get this done for 10 years. It's part of a UAW campaign, and it includes Mercedes plant in Vance, Alabama, a Hyundai plant in Montgomery, Alabama, a Toyota plant in Troy, Missouri, and also some Tesla factories. This doesn't hit for Republican governors, though. The governors of Georgia, Mississippi, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas, and Alabama issued the following statement. This was put out by Governor Kay Ivey of Alabama. As governors, we have a responsibility to our constituents to speak up. We see special interests, special workers being special interests, looking to come into our state and threaten our jobs and the values we live by. It is the values we live by, Trey, to force factory workers to piss in bottles.
Right. Those are good down-home Tennessee values right there. Fucking wage slavery. Yeah, I mean, the way they would present it is, oh, we do this and we'll lose the jobs. We want people to have jobs. That's how they always present it. I mean, you said they've been trying to do this for 10 years. I've told this story on here before, but it's directly relevant now. I got a buddy that worked at that plant, the plant in Chattanooga, the Volkswagen plant, for a long time. And years ago, probably about 10 years ago, something like that, he came up and was hanging out at my house in Knoxville and stuff. And he told me that they had a whole little retreat thing about unionizing. Right. Mm-hmm. And he said that they had like donuts and coffee set up and stuff. And the boss man came in there and introduced. They're like, all right, we got a representative from the union here. Somebody wants to talk to y'all about starting a union. And this lady comes in and starts like insulting them all and spitting on the donuts and throwing them in the trash and just being a fucking Nazi about everything. Uh-huh. Like, so they're doing like pro wrestling. And my friend, he had no political stake. He was telling me that in the context of like, ain't this shit wild? You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't trying to make any kind of political statement or nothing with it. So I know that it happened. And so for 10 years, like, this is the type of subterfuge that they engage in to keep people from, you know, rallying behind their own self-interest and and threatening them and saying like, hey, if you do this, the job, you ain't got no job at all. That's the main thing they do. It's like, if you try to do this, your job is gone. Your family can't eat. Everything's fucked. And I get why that's effective. It's horseshit, but you know, I understand how that reaches a person. You're like, this job is better than no job, but it don't have to be that way.
Right. And my thing is like you think this, like we talk a lot about national politics or like silly state legislators. And like, if you get outside of the sclerotic circus of this DC and ignore the most maniacs or people out there working to do good, like did you unionize play like, and getting effective, like, union advocacy in states like Tennessee and Alabama would go a long way towards balancing out like sanity in our politics where like workers have a say and actual foothold. And like, you, this is how you make things better, is you have unions to help get less psychotic Republicans and centrist Democrats elected in red states, and that allows the Overton window to shift to the left,
right?
And you can get stuff like better health care, right? And get more people like Lena Khan in power in Washington. Because like, if Trump wins, you're not going to have Federal Trade Commission is trying to get like non-compete clauses from 20% of the workforce closer to zero. You know, to the point somebody's trying to get up from 20% to like 70%. And it's like that kind of stuff makes a lot of difference in people's fucking lives. My friend's wife, to get a $12 an hour job like teaching at a fitness studio, the boss tried to get her to sign a non-compete agreement. Mm-hmm. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? This is psychotic. Anyway, she didn't do it because it's stupid. But yeah, we can skip this. We're doing enough Trump today, so we can skip this Truth Social thing. It was just for fun because we're running a little behind. But yeah, we can go ahead and get to the show.
Yeah, well, put simply, the Truth Social stock is plummeting. Guys, who could have foreseen that? Yes, people are really upset about it. They think, but they're going to hold the line, Mark. They think that this is just the deep state and liberal media operating to sabotage their favorite stock, and eventually it will rally, and they'll all make millions of dollars on the back of Daddy Trump's.
You got Trump supporters calling for him, Republicans in Congress, to outlaw short selling because they think short sellers are fucking them on their stock price. And I'm like, if you think Donald Trump and Republicans are going to push to get rid of some stupid Wall Street bullshit,
right?
What fucking planet are you people living on? It feels like this is just absolutely insane. But yeah, they're trying to push this meme stop. People are losing their life savings, but still buying more of it with every dollar they have. And when they express concern about whether they're going to lose all their money, they call each other names on their message boards. And we got a lady talking about how she's going to convince her husband to sell.
Bless their hearts, Mark. All right, let's move on. Before we get into it, I want to let y'all know about a few things. First of all, if you want to see me do stand-up comedy live in the flesh, and you should, go to treycrowder.com. Check out my upcoming dates. I'm going to be in Canada this weekend, the southwest corner of Canada anyway. I'll be in Vancouver on Friday and then Seattle on Saturday. Producer Matt's going to be there helping me behind the scenes, as he is wont to do. It's going to be fun. And later on, going all over the place, and we're still adding dates all the time. It ends in August on that graphic. We got them all through the end of the year, and we're still adding more. So go to treycrowder.com and check it out. Also, on the website, you can get a link to me and Corey's book, Round Here and Over Yonder. It's on sale on Audible right now. The audiobook is for $5.99, I believe. Me and him narrated. It's a fun-filled comedic romp around these 48 states, and you should check it out. All right. Also, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. Go to weeklyskews.com/more or go on Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. $5 a month gets you access to full-length bonus episodes like the Q&A we just completed. We take y'all's burning questions. We also cover things that happen in between shows or just other things we want to talk about. It's a lot of fun. So get some more skews in your life and support the show in the process. Sign up on Patreon. All right. As for the show tonight, as Mark said, we're going to be talking about the Trump trial. Yes, it finally started having a little trouble finding jurors. It's not that surprising, but hopefully we're going to talk about it all, and hopefully you guys do a better job of staying awake than Trump has during the trial itself. We got some other fun stuff for you later on, but first we begin with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, experts for not realizing Dr. Strangelove's doctorate was in theology this whole time.
What exactly did you see last night that you want to share with the people this morning?
Prophetically, we are on the verge of the Gog-Magog war that Ezekiel described in chapters 38 and 39. This attack by Iran, who launched more than 200 missiles yesterday, is a tribute to the weak and pathetic leadership of Joe Biden.
All right, cut it, Matt. All right, so that's Pastor John Hagee, who's a huge televangelist in Texas, San Antonio, I think, and he's a very powerful Republican politics. And he's talking about, he said Ezekiel 38-39. In the latter days of Israel, latter days of humanity, actually, there'll be a battle where a king named Gog will lead a people named Magog in a war against Israel. Mm-hmm. Now, my thing is, if you're going to take the Bible literally, you got to wait for a guy named Gog leading the Magogs to show up.
Yeah. I was going to say, if the leader in Gaza was named Aza or something, then, then okay. maybe we could talk. But yeah, right. Like you said, fucking ain't no Gog Magog is the most comically ancient sounding shit that I've heard about the Bible in recent memory. You know what I mean? It's like anybody in the present in 2024 talking about the Gog Magog war. I just immediately discount, because it's like, you literally sound like a caveman. Like that, yeah. That's a war that will be fought with clubs. I can tell just by hearing the name of it. So like, what are we talking about? Ain't no drones in the Gog Magog war, you know? Mm. Like, it's silly.
It's always worth remembering that three of the world's four major religions started in like a 12 square mile radius, where they all handed out, had a tradition of folk telling and no written language, and they all like, all like, you know, hallucinating from dehydration all the time. Anyway, it's just something worth thinking about.
Yeah.
So Hagee was at a dinner this week with Speaker Mike Johnson. It was at a group hosted by a group called Christians United for Israel, where they were urging this guy who wants an apocalypse, was urging Mike Johnson to shovel billions of dollars at the Biden administration's request to Israel because he wants an end times holy war. All right.
Right.
Now, Hagee is a guy who, this is how far we've drifted. I brought this up before, but John McCain rejected his endorsement in 2008 because he said a bunch of anti-Semitic shit, including here's a head screen grab of a headline when he had to read this from Haaretz, the Israeli publication. U.S. pastor apologizes to Jews for, quote, God sent Hitler, end quote, comments. Mm-hmm. You don't want to really have that on your resume in general, but apparently he's back now.
Yeah, it's so, like we said before, try to live your life in such a way that you avoid having a Hitler section of your Wikipedia page.
Yes.
Your public figure. Yeah, I feel like having a God sent Hitler section is arguably even worse than that.
Yes.
Yeah. Try not to do that if you can. Hitler, and all avoid it.
Hitler was God's emissary on earth, according to John Hagee. So what happened Saturday? I'm watching the news, like keeping track of the news, and Corey's like, he texted us, he's like, I'm watching golf and they broke into golf to say that World War III started. What the hell is going on? It's like, I wish I lived a life where I didn't know World War III was starting unless they broke into golf. I just like that having that brain seems way more fun to me.
Bro, I didn't know until my dumb buddy texted me, hey, they broke into golf. You know what I mean? I'm fucking I'm playing PlayStation with my sons or whatever. And it's like, I wasn't even watching golf. I wouldn't have been privy to it regardless. As soon as he said that, I was like, Mark, are we all about to die? You know, because, you know.
Yeah, I just went to a bar with my buddies. So anyway, it's nice not to be on the front lines of this shit. I can't think of how terrifying it must be to be anybody, a regular person in any one of these fucking areas or countries right now. So we talked about a little bit in Patreon that like Israel had blown up an Iranian military building adjacent to an embassy in Syria and killed six people and two generals who coordinate attacks from militias. And everybody's waiting to see what Iran was going to do in response. And essentially what they did was launch an unprecedented volume of missiles and drones that accomplished roughly nothing.
Right. Because it wasn't a surprise attack, right? Like it was known that it was happening. It was basically like, correct me if I'm wrong, weren't they pretty much like, hey, we about to fire all these missiles. Just you can't do nothing to stop them. But just so everybody knows, we're going to fire all these missiles. And then most of them got stopped and they were like, okay, well, fine. It was like, it was all kind of performative, wasn't it? Like, it's like they had to, it's like a show of force because they couldn't not do anything, but they also didn't want to actually start World War III. So they were like, hey, y'all cool with us firing a bunch of missiles and maybe you let one or two, third just kill, you know, a few unimportant poor people and everybody's happy. And then Israel and America and the powers that be were like, yeah, that'd be fine. Let's do that. And so that's what they did. I mean, that's pretty much what happened, right?
Okay, so I don't know how much back channeling was going on between Israel and Iran, but things we do know is that Israel did have foreknowledge, whether it's from spies or just a phone call from Iran, because the government told everybody to duck, and Bibi went into a bunker owned by an American billionaire. All right, so the Biden administration said, and I'm quoting here, official and unofficial U.S.-Iran back channel diplomacy since the Damascus strike on April 1st, that's the Israel bombing Iran, helped to prevent this crisis from spiraling out of control. They said they exchanged red lines, all right? But the thing is, like, if you're telling somebody what they can't do, you're also telling them what they can do.
Of course, yeah, right.
So, and like, United States and Israel successfully shot down an overwhelming majority of these drones and missiles, and I think seven people were injured, no one was killed. But now Israel's talking about responding again. It's like, no.
That's
done the strike in response. Right.
That's the whole point of this whole dog and pony show, ain't it?
Right.
Is that you stop after this. It's like, oh, we're doing a thing to say we did a thing, but then we're all in agreement that it stops after that. Fucking right. Israel, though, dude. They're just on one. Like, no, we can't stop.
But now Israel's like, but now we have to do a show of a forced response. Because we got, but I think it's like, we know how this ends. It doesn't end with one of you conquering the other one. It ends with you, one of you guys just stopping. So you can choose to stop now, or you can choose to stop at a later date after a bunch more people are dead. But like, the status quo is going to stay the fucking status quo. This is all so fucking stupid. I don't know who these performative airstrikes are for outside of weapons manufacturers.
Right. It's like if we end up reluctantly backing into World War III because both sides are like, well, we can't not do, we don't want to hurt, but we can't not. And then that just escalates until everything explodes. It's just so stupid.
Right.
The whole thing is so dumb.
It's all for fucking, and like the Iranians, to their credit, regular Iranians took to social media in English and were trying to say that like your beef, none of your beefs are with the Iranian people. You're with basically just with the fucking mullahs. Like, we don't get a vote here. Nobody gets a say in this. And like, that's the thing is like, we're all held, like Iran and Israel are both run by John Hagee's, and half of America is run by John Hagee's. Right. And all the rest of us are fucking subject to their dumb bullshit because they want to bring about Gog and Magog. Yeah. And I'm like, could you guys just meet in a field with bats and bricks and leave the rest of humanity out of this fucking shit? Because we don't want any, I don't have any interest in it. Most people don't either. And so anyway, if everybody acts sane, then this big heightening's over, and Israel appears to be pulling back from Gaza in some respects. Like they moved some divisions out. It looks like they've suffered a strategic defeat, which is what everyone told them they were gonna, was going to happen when they overreacted back in October. And, you know, so anyway, may we survive the weekend, Trey. Yay! Yes.
Lord willing. All right. So our first honorable mention for Daily Dumbass is liberals who don't realize the solution to the border crisis is to simply deport all the white people to get them away from these scary immigrants. This is who else? Large Brain Marge. Hit it.
Like Lakin Riley. You're familiar with her, right?
Congressman, our break.
Are you familiar with Lakin Riley?
I am familiar with the case.
You should have deported her so that she could be alive today. Her parents would have appreciated that. Like Lakin Riley.
Help me out here, Mark. Is what's happening in her wild ass, unfathomable brain up there? Is it that, is she saying like, since y'all want to turn this country into a country of nothing but illegal immigrants, good God-fearing white citizens like Lakin Riley will have to be deported in Biden's America, and that's what you should have done to save her life? Is that what this is supposed to be? Because if it ain't that, I don't follow at all what she means.
I assume she was just stupid and misspoke and meant to say you should have deported the guy from Venezuela who killed Lakin Riley. But anyway, like, so she's yelling at the Secretary of Homeland Security here, Mayorkas, and she's one of the House impeachment managers for him. They finally delivered after impeaching him like months ago. They finally decided to like pull the trigger on their failed impeachment effort and conviction effort and send it to the Senate. They had this big solemn ceremony where they walked over the articles of impeachment today. It's also fucking stupid. So you have a very stupid trial in which, like, I imagine like even like 10, 20, 30 Republicans don't vote to convict. Marjorie Taylor Greene has also said she's going to file a motion to vacate on Speaker Mike Johnson, and she has at least one co-sponsor. Remember, you only need one person to vacate the speakership. Yeah.
Thomas Massie from
Thomas Massie said that he won't. Johnson will not get as many votes to stay as even Kevin McCarthy did. So Johnson flew to Florida, had a big press conference at Mar-a-Lago over the weekend with Trump, where he announced his big plan to save his own ass, which is to introduce a law to make it illegal for undocumented immigrants to vote in American elections, federal elections, which it already is. So his plan is to make it super double illegal for undocumented immigrants to vote. The weird thing here is like Johnson's plans for this bill were released via Stochastic Terror Twitter account, Libs of TikTok, another conservative influencer, mega influencer by the name of DC Drano, another Stochastic Terror account named N Wokeness, and a January 6th defendant accused of looting furniture used to assault officers. That's how they put out this plan, was via these social media influencers. So that's Johnson's plan to save his ass. And it's not going to work because the fact of the matter is most of his caucus wants to pass funding for Ukraine and Israel. And Marjorie Taylor Greene and her ilk do not want any funding for Ukraine, which means they can't get funding for Israel. So eventually everyone's going to figure out how to get around this logjam. And Johnson can either introduce it or be a discharge position. But it's going to happen, And he was just delaying the inevitable by being a fucking coward, not to want to look bad and being removed as speaker. The office must be cool. I don't know why anybody wants this job. Right. As far as how we ended up here, Kevin McCarthy came out this week and finally just said what happened, which is he refused to help cover up a sex crime and get himself in legal hot water. So here we go. He's talking about Matt Gaetz, obviously.
So was it this? You made a lot of concessions in the negotiations.
No, I didn't. Okay.
Okay. Is that
Let's get to the bottom of that. Right. That is such a misnomer in life. Let me give you the truth about that now. And I'll give you the truth why I'm not speaker. It's because one person, a member of Congress, wanted me to stop an ethics complaint because he slept with a 17-year-old. An ethics complaint that started before I ever became speaker.
You cut it, Matt.
And I'm not going
to. Yeah, he's like, I didn't want to go to jail to protect Matt Gaetz, so I'm not speaker anymore. And like these people, they nothing about them has changed. And you might be wondering what kind of responsible conservative leader could restore order to this chaos. No fear. There is an expert on the way. Here's former UK Prime Minister Liz Truss, if you have this video, Matt, on Fox News, promoting her stupid new book.
First off, great to see you. Your thoughts.
Great to see you. And here's my new book.
Yep. There you go.
So if you're listening, she held the book up oriented incorrectly, two different. She could not get the book upright to the camera.
First it was backwards, then it was upside down.
Yeah, first it was backwards, it was upside down. But yeah, this Liz Truss, she got outlasted by a cabbage, right?
Or the lettuce.
A lettuce head. Yes. A lettuce head lasted longer than she did as the prime minister. So,
yeah. I went to see how people were liking her book, and this lead on one of the reviews got me because, like, okay, quote, they say history is written by the victors, but that hasn't stopped Liz Truss from having a go. And by the standards of like mainstream book reviews, that is no Vaseline by Ice Cube.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's bars, buddy.
Yeah. So she's like trying to become a MAGA type person, I guess, to like have something to do. Because again, she was the shortest serving UK prime minister in history. And like Trey said, got outlasted by a head of lettuce. They put a camera on a head of lettuce. Like, who will last longer, Liz, this lettuce? And let me read the headline on this this piece she wrote in the Wall Street Journal. The deep state lies in wait for Trump. His second term will be much like my time in office if he doesn't confront the entrenched bureaucracy. All right.
I hope she's right about that if it comes to pass. You know what I mean? Like if he happens to get a second term, I hope it's exactly like her time in office, i.e. over before lettuce dies.
Right. But like the deep state that took her down was like the Bank of England. Because what happened was she put out a proposal for a mini budget, and the Treasury, the Bank of England, and the Office for Budget Responsibility were like, if you do this, we'll all be living on cat food in like 3 weeks. This will collapse the UK economy, if not the world economy, and her approval rating collapse. And she thinks that they were unfair to her because they went and did math.
Right.
All right. And it makes sense to me. She found a natural home in the MAGA movement because what they hate more than anything is that people that know what they're talking about and fucking do math.
Yeah. I was about to say, dude, math is always going to go against them because, you know, math is objective and, you know, real. It's governed by a set of rules and is not based on people's emotions or opinions of things, which means it's always going to go against them. Also, anybody that like has any kind of notoriety at all, even adjacent to their universe, is always going to go full MAGA, even if they're from another country or something, because they've seen how successful that grift can be. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of money to be made. I still don't understand where all this MAGA money is coming from. Like, the people that I see that are MAGA support, you know what I mean? The people buying the shoes and the NFTs and the true social docs, it's like that whale's got to have a bottom to it, I would think. But I guess, I don't know. I guess they're doing better than I thought. But either way, you can make a lot of money by pandering to the dumbest, craziest, most hateful people in this country. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I guess Liz ran out of them across the pond. So she's a come land of opportunity, baby.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got a transitional dumbass for y'all as we transition into the main subject tonight. And that dumbass is people who don't think it's anti-Semitic to pick on well-known Jewish person, President Donald Trump, former President Donald Trump. Hit it.
Not even allowing a father, never mind a former president, but a father attend his son's graduation. And let's not forget Passover, okay? Observant Jews have a right to go and pray to who they want and observe Passover. And this judge would not allow it, not for any of the attorneys. And there are observant Jewish attorneys on the Trump team.
What's funny about that to me is I feel like you could tell she realized in the middle of that she was saying some dumb shit. That's what it seemed to me like. She's talking about Trump. It's like, the judge won't let him go to his son's graduation. And, Passover, what about Passover? And it's like she realized in the middle of it, but it sounded like she was going to be like, they have a right to go do Jew stuff, with the Jew thing and the whatever. And so, and then she tried to save it at the end. She says at the end that he's got Jewish lawyers, Natch, who, should be able to observe Passover. And this judge just unmoved by any of this.
Well, so it's the first day of this. And we're already drowning in bullshit. This was yesterday was the first day of it. That's when this happened. And they got a third of the way through jury selection. They're already fucking lying. So Barron Trump graduates high school next Friday, I guess. Congratulations to Barron. And the judge didn't say he couldn't go. The judge said, maybe we'll see how the trial's going. Right.
Right.
But also, Trump didn't go to any of the other four kids' graduations. I guess he'd be like, well, Your Honor, I'm trying to be a better father now that I'm retired from the presidency. I don't even know about the past. I don't even know. I only know when Passover is because traffic's less.
yeah, sure.
So anyway, here's how yesterday went. If you got this first video, Matt, this is a report. There's no cameras inside the courthouse. So all we know is what people are telling us. And here's Megha Haberman of the New York Times.
Yeah, I have to ask, you guys have been, at the Times, have been live blogging this event. And 40 minutes ago, you wrote an observation that I was very surprised. Trump appears to be sleeping. His head keeps dropping down and his mouth goes slack. Tell us about that.
All right, you can cut it out. So there's a famous moment in Unusual Suspects where they test the interrogation. They figure out whether a guy's guilty or not by seeing who goes to sleep, because the guilty guy is he gets to relax because he's finally caught, where everyone else is nervous and going to get in trouble they don't deserve. And I don't believe that. There's a lot of pseudoscientific bullshit that cops believe like that around interrogations. But since a lot of these people seem to believe that cop shit works the way it does on TV, and that's a lot of what's happening, we'll see this going forward in the rest of this segment. I'm just gonna throw that out there and see if it sticks with them. So that was yesterday. This was today from a blogger named Frank Runyon from Law 360. Trump's head slowly dropped, his eyes closed, he jerked back upward, he adjusts himself, and his head drops again. He straightens up, leaning back, his head drops for a third time, he shakes his shoulders, eyes closed still, his head drops, finally he props his eyes up, pops his eyes open. That's me trying to stay awake on an airplane.
Yeah, no, I was about to say, the thing about this is, I keep thinking, dude, I'm one to nod off if it's some boring procedural shit or whatever. But, and I was like, I can't imagine if I was 78 or however fucking old he is. But I do think if I was in a trial where my own name and innocence or whatever was on the line, I'd like to think I'd be a little more attentive. So I'm inclined to interpret it as whatever entitlement or whatever. He's just not worried about it. But also it's kind of when we talk about when people say Lindsey Graham is gay and we roast Lindsey Graham for that, it's we don't care that he's gay. The only reason we care is because he actively goes against gay people. Right. And it's a similar thing here for me, where it's all the sleepy Joe shit, you know what I mean? Them talking all the time about how Joe Biden can't fucking stay awake because he's an old sleepy papaw with no energy and everything. That's the reason this makes this interesting to me, is because this is your guy, this is your horse, and he's sitting in court with his own freedom on the line and he can't keep his fucking eyes open. And you're going to talk about Joe Biden being old and sleepy? Seems like bullshit to me.
They're on court TV. Court TV doesn't really exist anymore, but I sat through a few trials when I was a reporter, and court's boring as fuck.
Right.
I can't really blame anybody for falling asleep, because it's 14 hours of question to get yes.
That's what I'm saying.
And but this is your own jury selection.
Yes, I know.
On a case that's about fucking sex. This is about, and, yes. and they're going to people's social media posts. We'll get to that in a second. This is objectively one of the most interesting court trials of all time. And if you can't stay awake when your own kids, it's very, very
when it's about you. No, I know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I picked, in my head, I'm like, we only get the snippets from court. Being in court all day long, it's got to be pretty boring. I would probably drift off. But then I'm like, but not if it's about me and my freedom and everything. And I'm a, you know, it does like I want to naturally drift towards being sympathetic because I'm like, ah, hell, I fall asleep all the time. But like, but it fucking is different. The context makes it different in a lot of directions.
I've realized that there are so many Trump trials. We should be more specific. What's going on? This is the one, this is the New York State case brought by the New York State about the hush money he paid to Stormy Daniels to get her to keep quiet about their quote unquote affair, which it's more like sexual assault, but it's they had sex at a golf course at a golf tournament. And he paid her to stay quiet, and he did so through illicit means. And the case is about whether or not it's election interference because it was basically an in-kind campaign contribution that he did under the table. There's 34 counts related to it. We won't get into all of them, but you need to keep that in mind when you're thinking about how tacky this all fucking is because it's just extremely tacky, every aspect of it. But because it's a Trump trial, there's a circus outside the courtroom, and here's an interview with a Trump MAGA protester who's there. And look what they make you give to support this guy, man. It's pretty fucking insane.
The man is a germaphobe. You know where I'm going with this. If he had an affair, if. Okay, services were paid for. Services rendered, services paid for, right? So what are we talking about? Lots of men use prostitutes. The man.
So does this lady have a husband who goes to prostitutes? Or like what the fuck? Like for the record, I know a lot of guys. As far as I know, none of them have used sex workers. I'm not saying that like that's some huge unforgivable sin or whatever, but it's not normal to be like, well, men use prostitutes all the time. That's not the case. And also, he didn't pay for sex. He paid her to keep quiet about the sex. And also, the way she describes the encounter is basically she felt trapped and like she had to have sex with him. And then later on, she didn't want to keep quiet about it. But she says a guy she presumed was a mob goon working for Fat Tony Salerno threatened her and the life of her daughter in a parking garage and got her to sign this $130,000 NDA. All right. So that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
It's not about paying for sex.
Right. And I don't know if this, like you were saying, it's like, all my buddies, I'm not aware of any of my buddies getting prostitutes, but my buddies are regular dudes. Mm-hmm. I will say I have always kind of assumed if you're talking about a rich, powerful, especially older American guy, in my head, I'm like, yeah, he's porking whores, right? That's what I think. But
who works in casinos?
But I've always thought part of that arrangement is like, but if you get caught doing it, that's going to be some shit. Like that's part of how it works. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I have always assumed like, yeah, they're probably all fucking doing it. But like, if you get caught red handed doing it, there will be consequences for it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the rules of the game you all play by. That's how I've always kind of looked at that arrangement, you know?
Right. So yeah, but the getting caught thing, and this is what Trump keeps going back to, is getting caught's unfair because so many people do this stuff. All the rich guys I know do these same crimes, right? So anyway, yeah. So anyway, they're still doing jury selection. They started with 96 jurors, and they've seated 7 so far. More than 50 prospective jurors were dismissed off the bat because they said they didn't think they could be impartial, which is I want to meet the other 46 who are
exactly.
like, I have no opinions about Donald Trump.
Dude, we've talked about it before, even just talking about it prospectively before these things. It's like, I don't know how you find, I do not know how you seat a jury for a Donald Trump trial. It has to be peers. It has to be Americans, right? I don't know how you find 12 Americans that are genuinely impartial when it comes to Donald Trump. I made one of my videos today and I said, it's like being impartial to a tornado. You know what I mean? It's like anybody whose brain works is terrified of the damage it can do. And then you've got the fucking rabid contingent of lunatic cultists who think it's the fucking coolest shit in the world. And that's it. But nobody's like lukewarm could go either way on a tornado or Donald Trump. Like, I don't know how you identify these people.
Well, the theory of the jury system is you take an oath to put aside your you can't be rabidly partisan, but like just because a person's a registered Democrat and voted for Biden does not mean they cannot serve.
Right.
Donald
it's about
Trump's jury.
The facts of the case.
Right.
Like, the idea is that like you could be like, yeah, I'm a Joe Biden supporter, but I can put that aside and rule on this case based on the facts of the matter. Right. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. Of course, that's how it should work. But just with this guy, I just don't know how you identify those people. You know what I mean? Like, because well, anyways, we've also talked about before, it only takes one. And that's what, and they're like banking on that, by the way. There's fucking Republican pundits out here like openly advocating, advocating for like, hey, we get one Trump supporter in there, Trojan horse your way onto the jury, and then burn the whole thing down from the inside because this is all bullshit. And it's like, and that is all it would take. It's, I don't know. It's
what you're describing here is the case against having a jury system, which is, it, I hear you, but it's like,
which I'm not sure that's what I want to do. That's what I'm trying to do.
It's not perfect. It's the what we, it's what we got though.
Right.
So they spent today going through jurors' social media posts and trying to find people that were too biased to serve. It led to a few funny moments. This is Trump's lawyers making this happen. One potential juror ruled out on Tuesday was a man who had shared an AI-generated video of Trump saying, "I'm dumb as fuck." At another point, the judge read a meme into the record that seemingly disqualified the would-be juror who shared it. The joke referenced the Thai youth soccer team dramatically rescued after they were trapped in a flooded cave system for more than 2 weeks in the summer of 2018 when Trump was still in office. The joke was, quote, "Trump invites the Thai boys to the White House and the boys request to return to their cave." So yeah, they're obviously
these people hit for me. I like them.
There's also the Huffington Post had an interview with a woman who was rejected from jury duty. She's talking about the experience of sitting there. She was like, how surreal it was, like how Trump's been built up into this like force of nature, both by people who love him and people who hate him, and then sitting in the courtroom, like he's just a fucking guy. I'm like, yeah, he's just a fucking guy. If he bleeds, we can kill it, guys. It's not, this isn't so fucking complicated.
And I know that that's true, and maybe I would feel the same way, but I think if I saw Trump face to face, I'd be like, God damn, it's a weird fucking guy. Like, just the way, you know what I mean? Like, the orangeness, the hair. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like if I was in a room with him, I wouldn't be like, oh, hell, he's just like any other American. You know what I mean? He's not. He's fucking wild. Yeah, but I mean, they should.
I'm just saying, I thought that was beautiful. I guess the whole idea behind of no one being above the law, and 100%. I'm a jury, I get to sit in judgment of this guy. He's just
that's what you should think. Yes, right. That's exactly what you should think.
Totally. So Trump's been doing his dumb bullshit, trying to intimidate witnesses on True Social, and people been wondering how the judge is going to react to it. The DA has asked for Trump to be fined $3,000 a post for death threats. I'm like, I don't think that's going to do it, man. But like the judge did warn him he could face 30 days in jail if he violates any of the terms of his release, including like the gag order, to which his lawyer, Alina Habba, went on TV and said they're taking away his free speech rights. He's just like Nelson Mandela. I'm like, no, these are just the rules every criminal defendant has. Like,
yes,
the Barron thing, like they think it's unfair that he has to show up in court for his trial. Everybody has to show up in court their fucking trial.
I was about to say earlier, it's like, I don't know for sure, but I'm imagining if it was like a black man who got arrested for, you know, smoking crack and robbing an electronics store or something like that. Mm-hmm. There's no fucking way they would let that guy out to go to his, you know, his son's graduation. They wouldn't give a fuck about any of that. I'm Trump assuming like
Trump has to be excused on Wednesdays so he can schedule rallies for every Wednesday. And like, right. Nope, sorry, like, buddy, that's not this work.
Right, and it's kind of, that's the whole thing with this whole situation here. It's like, no, he's just being treated the way anyone else is, which is the whole, that's the whole idea that we're all focusing and arguing on here with this trial, you know. It's like,
well, he's still being treated way better than everyone else, but that's sort of like, but it's like, so anyway, the funniest possible defense would have belonged again to Marjorie Taylor Greene, where she posted this on Twitter. She said, Stormy Daniels said the affair never happened and Michael Cohen committed perjury and is a serial liar. Yeah, that's what the money was for.
Right. I was about to say, so yeah, she posted a letter signed by Stormy Daniels saying it never happened. And I was like, so, but this is, the whole thing is that she was paid money to say it never happened, right?
Right.
So
right.
Having a letter where she says it never happened is almost proof of it happening. All you need, right. That's like half of the case. You've proven half of the case. The only other half you need is that money exchanged hands. Once you prove that, Marge, you've done, you've sealed the deal.
Yeah. You know, like, it's a bit like a defense lawyer asking a jury, if my client is a murderer, how do you explain this? And then dramatically revealing a stabbed dead body.
Right.
But going back to your jury tampering, Clay Travis, who's a sports guy / conservative influencer.
Yeah, he's from Tennessee. He's a Tennessee Vols fan, unfortunately, this motherfucker.
If you're a Trump supporter in New York City who's a part of the jury pool, do everything you can to get seated on the jury, then refuse to convict as a matter of principle, dooming the case via hung jury. It's the most patriotic thing you could possibly do. This is straightforward jury tampering, and it's a felony. And all this
He's a lawyer, too, by the way, Clay Travis.
God damn it.
I'm upset that I know anything about him, but yeah, he was a lawyer who then became a sports writer and wrote about the Vols and then went on to bigger and better things from there. But yeah, he's a lawyer.
So from not understanding how stuff like gag orders works and that people have to show up to fucking court and not understanding what jury tampering is and Marjorie Taylor Greene not understanding what evidence is and not understanding what a criminal charge is or who gets – like this is almost like – the entire criminal justice system is having a take a conservative to work day or something.
Yeah, that's funny. It's the first experience with it. It's kind of like when the January 6th people got sent to prison or whatever, and they were like, guys, did y'all know prison sucks? Did you guys know that the American prison complex is like fucked up and unfair? And it's like, oh, really? Is that so?
They are. Yeah. They fucked around and now they're finding out about it and it doesn't hit for them. And I get it, guys. Like let's talk about some reforms, please. I'm down for this. So the thing is, like, the whole MAGA movement, I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. They're objectively pro-crime, just not the cool fucking ones. Like, they're not doing Ocean Eleven's heist or anything like that. Or like, you know, like if a kid, like a cop left the keys in his cop car and some kid took it for a joyride, did donuts in the high school parking lot, I'd be like, that's fucking cool, give him probation.
Yeah.
Right. But here's a story I read this week. A Trump County chair in New Hampshire is a former cop who threatened to kill his colleagues in a shooting spree, murder his chief, and rape the chief's wife because the department suspended him 5 days for his relationship with a high school girl.
Yeah. That guy's got higher office written all over him, if you ask me. Is he running for Senate yet? Because he needs to sign up. He's got what it takes.
His name is Jonathan Stone. He's currently a second-term state representative, and he's a Trump's Sullivan County chair. So in 2016, Trump had a rally with him where Stone gave him an engraved AR-15, so he can still buy a gun despite threatening to murder all those people. But currently Trump campaign was asked if they're going to keep him on as county chair. And they're like, yeah, I guess. I don't know. Why not? So an aspect of this case I think everybody's forgotten is it involves the National Enquirer.
Right.
The ongoing tackiness of all this bullshit. There was a piece written in the New York Times this week written by a guy named Lachlan Cartwright, who's sort of the reason that all this stuff came out. He's now a special correspondent for the Hollywood Reporter. So basically, if anybody needs a refresher, what the National Enquirer was doing was called catch and kill. They would, in league with Trump, they would discover all these rumors about, say, affairs Trump had or love children he'd fathered. So that story turned out to be true, but they paid the guy anyway. They would pay people for the exclusive rights to their story and then just never write the story. It's like another way, like instead of Trump funneling money through Michael Cohen to pay Stormy Daniels, the National Enquirer just did it to Karen McDougal as a favor to him. Karen McDougal, a guy who was a doorman at the Trump Tower, another woman who said she'd fathered a Trump love child. For example, Karen McDougal ostensibly what her contract said she was doing was she was writing fitness columns for $150,000. And then when the story came out that they had done the catch and kill, they had to rush into publication some fake dummy Karen McDougal fitness columns to make it look like the deal was on the up and up. David Pecker is the guy that owned and operated the National Enquirer at that point, and he's like close friends with Trump. Pecker also had a similar deal with Harvey Weinstein, which is why the National Enquirer never broke any Harvey Weinstein shit, because they would just like crush stories about Harvey Weinstein's sexual assaults and general perversions.
David Pecker is some serious nominative determinism for me. The guy that was running the National Enquirer during this era, the Harvey Weinstein and fucking Trump era, his name was David Pecker. Mm. That's some simulation shit, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway,
and
go ahead.
The theory of the case here, and this is creative lawyering, it might not hold up to a jury or an on appeal, but like it's saying like you paid off these women with the express goal of getting elected president. It was to improve your poll numbers. Therefore, the money that these women were paid should have gone through campaign channels. And David Pecker, giving Karen McDougal $150,000, did not show up on any campaign books. That was an illegal campaign contribution, far and above the campaign contribution limit. You guys should be in fucking trouble for this. But the National Enquirer being super heavily involved in getting a president elected. I know they destroyed John Edwards' campaign with some truthful reporting about his love child. But like the truth should impact stuff regardless of where it comes from. But the National Enquirer making up lies to sway votes feels very fucking weird to me. But they printed a bunch of stories about Trump's rivals. They said Ben Carson had left a sponge in a woman's brain. They said Bernie Sanders, they accused him of being caught a child sex probe. So go
ahead. Those two things you just said, Ben Carson left a sponge in a woman's brain, and Bernie Sanders had he was caught in a child sex probe. They also said Marco Rubio was photographed at a Man Fest foam party or whatever. Like this is what's wild to me. That all sounds like National Enquirer type shit, right? Meaning, like, I have lived my whole life fully believing that the National Enquirer was just some tabloid horse shit where they just do stuff like that and make things up about people. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what's wild to me about this whole case is there's like truth embedded in what's happening at the National Enquirer. Like, there's an element of journalism there. They can just choose to deploy it or not. You know what I mean? Like they can say they're crazy tabloid lies and that's fine, but they also can tell the truth sometimes or whatever. Like, I don't really get it. I apparently did not understand the National Enquirer and how it actually works.
Right. It's not that they're just like making up stories about Marco Rubio being at gay sex parties, but they're not doing any stories about Trump. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like they're generating negativity about everyone else.
Okay. So the idea is like we make up all these crazy stories about everybody else, but Trump's paying them, so we don't make it up about Trump.
Yeah, we have true stories about Trump we're not telling.
Right.
We're making up stories about other people.
Okay.
So like the Ted Cruz, his dad killed JFK thing, that was a National Enquirer story that somehow still exists in the public consciousness because Trump talked about it at a rally. So you don't think Trump was talking to David Pecker when he's told him National Enquirer headlines and rallies? So what we're talking about, so let's turn to January 6th stuff for a second, because Supreme Court had a hearing today, basically hearing an appeal from a January insurrectionist who thinks they got too harsh of a sentence because they're prosecuted under too extreme of a law. 330 January 6th. Rioters have been prosecuted under this obstruction. It's an obstruction statute at issue in this case, which is Fisher versus United States, I guess. So the statute's plain text clearly appears to like points to this type of scenario, obstruction of an official proceeding. But the judges sound like they're really into letting Trump's also charged under this statute for part of his January 6th case. He has other charges too, but this is like six of them, I think. Clarence Thomas was trying to minimize January 6th today, which makes sense because his wife was involved in it.
Right.
And if you like his wife being involved in January 6th and him not even recusing is so fucking cartoonishly corrupt that I don't even know how to like talk about it.
Right.
It's pretty disgraceful.
One of those things where it's just like, what are you going to do? You can't do anything. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't do anything about it. So shut the fuck up and get over it. Like, that seems to be how they're approaching it. It's like they have that kind of power. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to because I don't want to. And you can point it out all you want, but I'm still going to wield the same power and do the same thing. So go fuck yourself.
I'm trying to talk about this in broad strokes because I'm not a lawyer, but so just we're reading about it. So this particular obstruction statute was part of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, which was passed after Enron collapsed. And the idea of which is like the obstructing official proceeding is like an offshoot of like destroying evidence in some capacity. I don't fucking know. But anyway, the problem with this case is like, let's get to the fishing part of this. All right. So way back in around 2007, a guy named John Yates was fishing off the coast of Florida and he was busted by wildlife officials for catching grouper that were too small. But before he returned to the dock a day later, he chucked the contraband fish overboard rather than hand them over to authorities. So the feds charged him with destroying evidence under the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. Now, he went to court and appealed the charges on the groundbreaking theory because what Enron had been doing is shredding a bunch of papers.
Right.
Like his theory is like, well, fish aren't papers.
And they're not, Mark. Show fish me the aren't lie. Papers. Show me the lie. They're not. Fish are famously not papers.
Right.
Also, he wasn't shredding them. Also, it's like destroying them. Were the fish dead already? If he threw them back in the water and they swam off, they're not destroyed. There's a lot of holes in this in the case here, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, fish are not papers. Anyway, go ahead.
So yeah, he got to the Supreme Court 8 years later in 2015. The Supreme Court was like, you know what? We agree with you. Fish aren't papers.
Yeah.
So it puts a giant hole in like the creative lawyering around this statute. And the case going to be whether or not the prosecutors got too creative with their interpretation of the statute to throw 330. You'd think their defense lawyers would have figured this out by now if there's really the prosecutions were this flawed. But it got the Supreme Court, and now this impacts Trump. So now they're all in on this theory of the case.
Right.
So basically, yeah, they're going to decide whether this novel use of the statute will be allowed to stand. And then while we're talking about the Supreme Court, one other thing they did yesterday, and this environment we're talking about, this is about protesters, and this relates to January 6th in a second. Tom Cotton got on Twitter yesterday and said this: I encourage people who get stuck behind the pro-Hamas mobs blocking traffic, take matters into your own hands and get them out of the way. It's time to put an end to this nonsense. So he's calling for people to run over protesters with their cars. Mm-hmm. All right. And yes. So
because there were Palestinian protesters who shut down the Golden Gate Bridge yesterday. Mm. Right. And that's what he's talking about. Yeah.
So we talk about one way ratcheting and who gets rights here, because like basically every Supreme Court case is like whoever the right wing or business person is gets freedom, and whoever the left wing activist or whatever it is doesn't get freedom. So today, Supreme Court argued that right wing insurrectionists are just protesters. And
right.
Yesterday, they decided this case, which decided that left wing protests are essentially illegal in three southern states.
Yes, exactly. Yes. In the same breath, basically, they said that, yeah, left wing protest. They tried basically essentially outlaw left wing protests by making it to where if you organize a protest, you can be held liable for anything anyone does at that protest, which of course opens you up to agents provocateurs or just drunk people or any fucking thing. Like no one's going to throw a protest if they know that any person who shows up and throws a fucking brick can put you in jail. So that's how they kind of outlaw protests in.
Well, get you sued to financial ruin, right? So yeah, this case was called McKesson v. Doe. Deirdre McKesson, you might have heard of, is a Black Lives Matter activist. So what happened was a few years ago, he organized a protest in Baton Rouge after a police shooting of a guy named Alton Sterling. And during that protest, an unknown person threw a rock and hit a cop in the face, essentially caused some pretty severe damage.
Right.
And the cop, who's John Doe in the situation, his name's not public, sued Deirdre McKesson. And the court was deciding, like the Fifth Circuit said, sure, this is a good lawsuit. And the Supreme Court just declined to hear the case. So they basically said, like Trey said, if you have a protest and someone shows up and does some fuckery, you're on the financial hook for it.
Right. So no one's going to risk that. Right. So they're outlawing those protests whilst backing effectively the January version 6th. Of protest, the treasonous version of protest that happened January 6th. And they're doing all this with a straight face and acting like it's all totally above board. It's fucking bullshit. Mark, real quick, because we only got a couple minutes left. For the patrons out there, for people that aren't patrons, they don't know. On the Q&A, we got a little bit of heat for always agreeing with each other. And I said on this episode this week, I was like, I'm going to try to disagree with you, Mark. I'm going to try to find something. So here's my shot. We only mentioned it in passing. The protest at the Golden Gate Bridge. Where you at on that? Pro-Palestinian protest.
In general, with protests of all stripes, I think freedom's messy and you got to tolerate a little bit of it. I think even if January 6th, if they hadn't hit cops and broken in, it would have had a problem with them marching around D.C. complaining.
Okay. Yeah? Right. Well, see, I think stuff like that, when I say stuff like that, I mean the Golden Gate Bridge, and I'm going to piss a lot of our viewers off here too, but I'm trying to give you all what you want. I'm trying to disagree with Mark in the very waning moments of the show. I think with things like that, I think you lose more people than you gain. That's what I think. I know you get eyes on you or whatever, but I think it's counterproductive to the cause at large, that type of shit, especially when you're doing it in a place like the Bay Area. There's probably tons of people who were personally affected by that, who were on your side, and now their whole day is fucked or whatever. And I don't think you're bringing anyone over to your side doing that type of thing. And I think conversely, you might lose some people. I'm all for protesting. I don't know if that's the way to go about it. It's like when these pro-environmental protesters go into a fucking art museum and throw oil on a fucking Monet or whatever. I don't really get what that's – I know it gets attention. I don't think that that's doing what you want it to do either. So there's my disagreement for the week.
A couple points to push back on is one, the really stupid thing about those throwing paint on paintings protests is the paintings are covered in plastic and glass, so it doesn't do anything anyway. It literally just annoys people. But I will say that people said the same thing about civil rights protests in the South in the 60s. Like, MLK was horrifically unpopular for blocking bridges and roads and stuff. popularity is not the point. You're not trying to like win hearts and minds. You're trying to demonstrate your, you know, resolve and irritate people into submission. Like, it's like, so it's not like I like, yeah, if I was sitting in traffic honking, it would annoy the shit out of me that I couldn't get home or get to work or wherever I'm trying to go. But that's not the point. The point is to be like, God, fucking give them what they want so they get off the goddamn bridge. That's the point of it. Right.
Right.
So anyway, the effectiveness of which things are like, again, there's, they're not step by step. You know, you don't, it's not like step one, block bridge, step three, free Palestine. It's not like a step by step process. Like
step that. Two, question mark. Yeah. Right. No, I know.
But I do want to say like, yeah, go to the holes in the McKesson case, like Trace, like a Ku Klux Klansman could show up to a Black Lives Matter protest and bankrupt,
do whatever he wants,
bankrupt the organization. But like, right. What you say with the agent provocateur is I wanted to make this point is that we talked about how like the FBI and Denver police sent undercovers into like housing rights groups and stuff to like sow dissent, which they always do with left-wing protest movements. And like, so all you're going to do is have like undercover cop throwing rocks at cops on purpose to get the people of the right. organization sued. This is going to result in cops hitting each other in the head with rocks. Yeah. Probably a cop shooting another cop.
Right. So like, just to take down an organization that the cops had nothing to do with or had a, you know, bullseye on them anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. The Roan on YouTube says, hit the like button before you go. Have a great week, y'all. Thank you, The Roan. I appreciate it. Yes. Yeah, smash that like button, y'all. Subscribe, share, tell your friends. We appreciate it. Thanks for watching. Before we go, real quick, go to treycrowder.com. Check out my upcoming dates. I'll see you this weekend, Vancouver and Seattle. Also, check out the book, Round Here and Over Yonder, on sale on Audible right now, the audio book. And sign up on Patreon to get some more SKUs in your life. $5 a month, full-length bonus episodes. Support the show in the process. We appreciate it. The main thing is keep watching this here program every Skewsday, and we'll keep doing it. We'll see you in 7 days. Love you. Bye.